Most High, I come to you giving you thanks and praise for keeping me in sound body and mind. I ask you to forgive me for all my indiscretions, all that I have done and all that I will do. I ask you to open me up, use me as your vessel, let my voice be yours. Speak your mission through me, allow the listeners to open up and receive it the way you intended. No holds barred. Use me. I look at the news and I watch other people's nations form.
I'm not saying everybody has to go through some bullshit to become a good actor or a good actress or become an actor or an actress, but I mean, it after all this stuff, I think it lends itself to
being able to emote.
I think, and when you can tap into that reality, why do people win Oscars? Why do people win accolades for their performances? They do because
they work very hard.
They work very hard, and they're able to transfer or translate that emotion into an audience, and somebody goes, "I feel you."
Yeah.
I feel they're able to get that across, but in order to do that, you have to first understand the self. The self has to find some connectivity to the work, and then
be able to
push that through to the audience.
Yes, that's a good way, but there's also other ways. So, like, there are multiple ways to, what do they say, peel an orange or skin cat and eat a peach, I don't know.
Eat a peach?
I don't know, I'm making things up.
That's a Georgia
idiot. So like some people, you don't have to go through stuff, but they take a time, and it could be nothing. Like if you're like, experience hurt, right? They could, if they never really experience hurt, like there is a time when they experience hurt. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. It could be that, you know, your mom made you leave your doll behind and you experienced hurt. Like, whatever it is, there is a time. So what they have to do is take the scene that they're playing, bake it down to its proponents, and find a time in their real life that, you know, felt that. Say, like, you have to play a murderer or something. Well, they can find it. There's a, you know, nobody's ever, if you're not a murderer, you don't have murderous feeling, but you do. You do. So you just find a time in your life that gives you that equivalency and you expand it. You expand it to crazy proportions and you let the director bring you back down. You know, that's some, I believe, how someone can create award-winning moments. They don't actually have to have experience. You know, they don't actually, have to, oh, somebody doesn't have to experience heartbreak to play heartbreak.
Clooney was not in Space or Gravity, so he figured out a way.
Yeah, so, but they use other times when they felt. Like, you'll hear people say, now think back to a different time when you felt.
Miss Denden Neri, yes. If that is your real name. My name is Oleg. And I have heard a lot about you. You may not know this, but yes, people in my country know you,
yes,
as
they should,
for the work that you do.
As
and
they should.
It would be a great honor to me. And
blessing.
That is a little too.
Yes. No.
Big of a word.
That's
blessing,
what
really.
It is.
An honor, really, not much of a blessing, but an honor. If you would do some of your characters, is it these characters, the people that you personate, for the people now on the radio show,
okay,
so that you share with me a medical doctor that you met?
Okay, so let me, my most beloved character, the character that most people love, is Lucrecia Totara Gonzalez. Right? Because, mira, we were like in South Florida, so mira, they love this New Yorkian, half black, half white, half Puerto Rican sister, you know what I'm saying? And you know, she was very loud and rambunctious, and you know what I'm saying? She didn't even use, like, she don't even know what that means, you know what I'm saying? Mira, don't even play, you know? So this is Loquacious. Loquacious. It's fantastic, and she's crazy.
Well, I don't know people like that, but if I take your word,
Mira,
I've never
she wore
met
nothing.
Like
Mira, you know, she wore like nothing. Like she had like, you know, saying she wore like, you know, she had a big booty and she had chancletas. She had like big earrings, big hoop earrings, and she always like, she would always wear like white eyeliner, back lip liner, you know what I'm saying? She was hot, you know what I'm saying? She had like a bunch of kids, she cursed and she cussed you out in a heartbeat. Don't even play. So yeah, that's loquacious.
Those are stereotypes. Does improv have to be stereotypical?
No, but like,
there has to be some.
So remember what we were saying about comedy? The best comedy is so true. So this is South Florida, and this was the best reasoning. I knew this girl, Loquacious Totara Gonzalez. She comes from three females that I knew. I put them together, smashed them together. I know this girl. She used to always yell at her boyfriend. Always. If his name was Johnny, she'd be like, Johnny! So her voice was like that. And she was Spanish. Half Spanish, half French. There was another girl. You know, she was like, Mira, when I put this on you, you're gonna start sinking. You know, like, you know, again, she was like, you know, yo, I'm Rican, mira, you know? Like, she was real crazy. And like, you know, so you put them together, you mix these people together, and this came my character, Loquacious Totara Gonzalez. Mira, Juan Pablo, why you gonna come up on my show? Mira, this is my show.
The people who...
You're so jealous. No,
the people who, okay. Where I'm from, they like the...
But they liked it, the character.
Indian, the doctor.
Oh, the Indian, the doctor? Yeah, yes. You really want the doctor, Kunjama Patel. You want... She is very... Look, I have to tell you, this is very serious. Don't laugh, this is not funny. You have a serious problem. You must go to the hospital immediately. You have herpes 275. I'm saying, I don't even understand how you are walking. Your balls are humongous. I've checked it, I have looked at the testicle scan. It has come back, guaranteed. Herpes 275.
What do I need to do?
You must go to the hospital immediately. It's very serious.
Go where?
The hospital.
When?
Immediately.
You did a bit about the accent that I think was funny. What was about the...
You know, how she was British affected, yeah. Indian, you know? And then her cousins, they would never get any respect with their dup accents. I don't even understand this, you know? So yeah, I like these characters. But there's some, you know, base one. There's a North Carolinian named Dolores. She's so creepy. She's my creepiest character.
What's creepy about Dolores? Dolores sounds like a nice little lady.
No, she's like, hi, my name is Dolores, and I just love you. I just love you so much. I just love you to pieces. I would just love you to little bitty pieces. I just catch you up and put you in the kitchen, just feed you to my kitty cats. You're just so adorable.
Okay, that's getting creepy. Anyway,
so stupid.
So you're doing these characters for how long in Florida in improv theater, and then working as a bartender at night?
Actually, I stopped because I started booking so many like commercials, extra work.
So have we seen you in a commercial, like in a national commercial?
Yeah, but you wouldn't know it was me. I played every culture known to man. I played Spanish.
So what? Let me. Any big products?
Yeah, I did a Spanish KFC commercial.
Speaking part?
Yeah.
As
a regular Spanish woman in a business suit.
Hola, ¿cómo está? Muy bien.
Yeah, except for, yeah, he looked at me and I asked him if he could please help me with my tire. And he looked at the tire and he looked at his chicken. He looked at his tire and he looked at his chicken. Then he was like, so you take that twirly thing? And then I looked at him.
You had to
angry.
Say stuff in English, or you had to learn
I said in Spanish. I said, ayúdame, por favor.
Okay. And so, how many commercials or do you book, you think, while you were down there in South Florida?
Yeah, like literally, if you did one commercial a month, you could pay all your bills. I would do a lot of extra work, which was like, you know, $100, $150, $200 a day. And then, like, added together with the private shows, doing improv. The further they go, the more money you make. And so, yeah, I was a professional actor in South Florida, and it was wonderful.
Nobody likes to talk about money, but we're going to talk about money. Because I always wonder about this stuff as a working actor.
Yes.
Did people struggle? So book a commercial, one commercial a month, how much is that?
It depends on the commercial, depends on how many lines.
National, local.
National, that's amazing. Most times local. It's just, you know, it could be as little as 500, it could be as big as 5,000. You know, it depends on what it is. Mostly it's about 500 to 1,000 regularly. But it's not that easy. Like, you have to go to a lot of auditions, a lot of castings, unless you have marketing already on your side. Then it gets a little easier. Like I said, they would see me and they'd say, "You're that girl." So already they know I can be funny. Mm-hmm. Now all I have to do is, do I look the part? Can I play the role? Like, can I look like whatever they need the person to look like? The whole acting game is, it's so not personal. They are literally trying to fill a grocery list. You know, was it the way I said this? Was it not the way I said it? It doesn't matter. You have to be what they need. You have to, if they need a carrot, they need a carrot. They don't need zucchini, it doesn't matter. You're squash, you're not getting picked.
That's
they need a carrot.
A choice of word then, it's a very appropriate choice of word, you're squash.
Yeah, or whatever you are.
No, you're going. Squash, you're going. It's smash, you're going.
That's cool. Not like, it's not a personal thing. It's not, if they just go out every single day and just try to be the best them that they are. Because no one can be them better than them. No one can be Denden better than Denden. So if I continuously just go out and be the best Denden I can be, they're going to feel that. They're going to feel what I am. And if I'm not right for this role, that'd be fine. If I prepared myself, I portrayed myself, they're gonna see who I am. And when a character comes across their desk that they need me for, they're gonna call me. They're gonna find me. They're gonna have my information because I'm gonna have made a lasting impression. It doesn't matter. Your meetings, your moments, all these things that you're doing in everyday life, it's not for that one moment, it's for the future. It's for whatever may happen. So you should always be positive. You should always be uplifting. You should always be loving. You should, you know, always.
Stronger than any seafood. Keep your love in your heart. Stay upon the righteous path. I beg you, please don't detour. I miss a love and patience. Fly over crows and ravens. Children are dying, who are gonna save them? Chant a psalm, say a prayer, seal a amen. One drop beat and a mind. Let me talk from my heart and not pretend, me pretend. Hey, I love free, I am nine. I just love me, defend me, say love, 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 it is the key, to uplift mankind, I mean, say love, love, it is a gift from the Savior divine, love is the gateway to the universe, hatred we give.
People have always come up to me and sort of the same thing, how did you get this at the time, how did you get this sort of positive attitude based on what little I know about the things that you claim to have experienced in your life, and kind of like you, I came to the conclusion that there was a higher purpose for me. There was something beyond. But I think
amazingly freeing. Anybody can get to that point, the younger you can get to that point, the better off you are. Whenever you recognize or realize what you do well, what you're meant to do, what your purpose is, whenever you can figure that out, if you find that out at third grade, you're going to be a millionaire. You're going to be rich.
No,
like you're going to be successful.
I started that to say that when you're in those years, anything you can do to get by, and people use alcohol, drugs, people use sex, people use whatever it is to get by. But I think, in a sense, that to me, that was somebody using that idea of there is something beyond this as a coping mechanism. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a coping mechanism in itself. It's a very powerful coping mechanism that got me through that, thinking I am meant for better things. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And but I don't know if that's I'm now trying to figure out, wait, was it true or was it just a means to an end? And if you got to the place where you wanted to get to, does it really matter? You know what I mean? Does it really matter? Like, now you can be president. You can, you can be president one day. As long as that gets you through your teenage years and you get to be a doctor, what's the difference? You know what I mean? So I'm trying to figure out the fact that I literally remember saying there has to be something beyond this for me. I am meant to take this experience and do what other great people have done. Take it and make it work for me. Take it and make it work for me. Have it empower me to go and do other things, which it did. And I think some people think that, well, you must be hiding that stuff. And that's why I like what you said. It's just, I'm through it. I'm done with it. It's over. And I'm on to the next.
Forgiven?
Forgiven.
Not forgotten, forgiven.
You never forget. You never forget.
You know what those things are, but it's cool.
But it's
okay.
Not cool, but it's manageable.
It's okay.
It's okay. What I'm about to go through. Pray. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape and climb thine air into me. Save me, O Lord. Anywhere there's oppression, the drug profession flourishes like beverages, depression. Sweet taste of sin. Everything I seen made me everything I am.
But if you're holding on to it, then you're really harming yourself.
Oh, very true. Very
you're harming
true,
very yourself. True. So why would you do that? Not forgiving is like the worst punishment that you mean to give to someone else that you give to yourself. I'm trying to punish him by not forgiving him, but you're literally punishing yourself. There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark. The scars of your love remind me of us. They keep me thinking that we almost had it all. The scars of your love, they leave me breathless. I can't help feeling we could have had it all. I have people come up to me after a show, after a performance, it could even be a skit at church, and say, I connected to your character. And I know that's a certain verbiage, like for somebody to actually say, I saw myself in that character, or I saw, you know, or oh my God, that is so my aunt. It could be the stand-up comedy, it could be the improv comedy. Like I would do that loquacious character, and people would come up to me afterwards, and they would see real life people that they know and love, and find crazy in those characters.
Crazier than you? That's a stretch.
Yes, crazier than the characters I create. That's bananas. But no, it's real. And so I have that ability. So it's like one of those things is I found out that I had this ability, and so I could do nothing else. But, you know, like, I have to be a performer in some form or fashion because I have an ability to touch people and make people feel and get to a certain place. Like it reminds them of like who they really are or what they might do, or you know, because sometimes I'm doing bad things, sometimes I'm being a bad person, and they're like, you know, that I understood that, like that actually resonated with me, that connected to me.
In listening to your story and then knowing my own, I think what happened to you and perhaps what happened to me is that people don't begin their life study, I think, until they reach middle age and go, is this all there is? And then they do the Oprah. They follow Oprah around, or they go to India. Who's the lady? What's the Eat, Pray, Drink? You know, they do that whole, you know, I got stuff, but stuff doesn't matter journey, so I got to get back to the roots. But I think what happened is we did that.
We had the roots
life,
pressed
right,
upon us.
We had the roots pressed upon us.
We
so we have
the roots.
We have the life stuff. I mean, and it's troubling. It's troubling at times. Sometimes
the philosophical.
Still,
we have the philosophical.
But it still hurts.
We don't
it
have
hurts.
Like
it still,
the background.
when I get down, I get down. I get down. When it happens, it happens. Because I sink into it and I try to deal with it. And most people don't, I think. There are people who go around being hungry and they want a space in their life filled. And in their 20s, they fill it with work, they fill it with chasing men, women, they fill it with chasing cars, they fill it with doing. Then they come to a point and they go, is that it? And I don't think we did that. Because early on, we recognized that there was always more. There is always more. But what I'm saying is, what is the payoff for that? It's not fine. What is the payoff for that? What is the end game? What happens to people like us at 50, 60?
This is what I like to believe, right? We came to a point early on where we knew who we were, right?
Agreed.
So I like to believe that now it's just fine-tuning who we are, finding the need, the necessariness of us, like finding a niche market that needs whatever it is that you do, whatever it is that I do.
But that's
so
the
like
thing.
I do improv, I teach people that, you know, there is a beautiful blessing in knowing that nothing you do is wrong and that, you know, you are, like, you know, I teach freedom. I teach freedom to all kinds of people who need to be taught freedom. And it, sometimes it's corporate dudes who stay in their offices and they are so attuned to saying no, no, and it, your idea sucks. This is the idea we should go with. And in reality, they should say yes. Let me hear your idea. Like, you know, not everything in that sucked. Like, we could use that because that could, you know, bounce off into this. Mm-hmm. And that's actually the better way of being. So really I have that ability to do that. And so I just find markets that need that skill and that ability. And I do well, you know, using that. So it's for us, it's we have to find the things that we are good at and place it into this world to help all these other people, you know? And now they have it together in certain aspects that we don't. So I'm always open to like, okay, so you got this, whatever, stock trade down.
Right.
I like that is an asset that I do not have. So you and I, we need to walk together for a little bit and you give me that and I'll give you this. And it's like this beautiful like, trade.
Symbiotic.
It's wonderful. I don't really get down on myself too often. I really don't. Because I just think that's a product of being by yourself and listening to thoughts that you shouldn't listen to. These are spirits that I don't agree with. So I just rebuke them and keep walking.
Spirit, I rebuke thee,
and I'll keep on walking.
I will walk on the path to righteousness. I don't hear you.
No, but like seriously, if I'm down, it's probably because I'm by myself. Because as soon as I walk outside, I'm not going to be down anymore. I'm going to find someone who needs help and help them and feel better about myself. Or I'm going to find somebody who like says something nice to me. They're going to say like, oh, you're so pretty. Like, and I'm like, amen. I'm up a little. There is no need for me to feel down, mm-hmm. because outside of my door is love. And if I can remember that outside my door is love, then inside my door is love too. So there's no need for me to be down.
Good morning or evening, friend. Here's your friendly announcer. I have serious news to pass on to everybody. What I'm about to say couldn't mean the world's disaster, could change your joy and laughter to tears and
Talk about Laughing Gas Improv Company in Miami. You were there for a while after going through these trials and tribulations. And again, I think...
Trials and tribulations, it was fantastic.
No, not there specifically, but what came before that in North Carolina, in the slums of New Britain, Connecticut.
So sarcastic.
With the Salad Gang, and obviously in Atlanta with adoption and having to finish your high school outside, basically on your own, learning about you at a very young age and being comfortable with
that. All that was wonderful. Like, there was
It was
so
huge. You know what it was? It was gas for the Laughing Company.
You're so retarded.
Okay, so right now, you said in New York, you odd jobs, but you also do gigs where, for example, a company might have a Christmas party.
Yeah.
Your troop of people will come in and do, you said, like a murder mystery thing?
So I'm a part of the improv troupe still. They would call me up and I would cast it. I would get the players who would play the characters. So most recently, I did a murder mystery. But, you know, sometimes we do team building events. Sometimes we do scavenger hunts.
Or money.
Money?
These are paying gigs.
Yeah, all for money.
Money.
Yeah. So remember I said I teach sometimes office guys to think outside of the box. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while we'll have a team building like that. We will go in a corporate setting and teach them the rules of improv to open their minds up. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it doesn't have to be corporate guys. It could be young people, it could be students, it could be in a camp. I did a Jewish camp once. It was funny. I actually got to go into a temple. Like, I'd never been in a temple. And I was just like, this is cool! You know? but I was there to grab some Jewish boys. I know how that sounds. And teach them some improv tricks and trades and games and have them do a show. So sometimes we do a show for people, sometimes we have them play games. So in this case, the murder mystery is them playing a game. It's the big ol' whodunit.
Were you in like high school theater, or you didn't feel comfortable with yourself?
I was in a gospel choir in middle school and high school. I was in a show choir. I was dancing and singing. I was in the band. I was very active, but like I was in commercials as a child.
Can we go back on YouTube and see these?
I have no idea. I was in like a Got Milk print ad with my cousin.
This is in a magazine, stuff. Like a national magazine?
Yeah, like.
You need to find these things. Is this part of your CV? Like you pull up your pictures and all these things are in there?
No, I think this is part of my like knowledge base.
We need proof of this. We need to find these things. It's part of your history.
It's really cool though. As a child, I was in a singing group called Echde Mabad. It was an Eritrean singing group.
Echde Mabad?
Yeah, all that.
Ech.
It means red flower. And it's a little kids group. And
so you were like the Jets or the Jackson 5? What were you in?
We were huge. It was like 30 or 40 kids. So it's a lot.
Jackson 30.
We were like, we didn't make any money. We raised money for our country and our war.
For the war. You were warmongering.
Yeah, but we won, so, you know, we were freedom fighters.
History is written by the victors. History, for anybody listening out there, marinate on this. History is written by the victors. If the lions told this tale, the story of the hunt would be different. Something like that. Oh, it's about perspective.
The lions get killed?
No, because, well, what great book, and you think of the like Heart of Darkness, what great book about Europeans going into the dark continent and hunting is told from the perspective of the lion? If the lion was telling the story, it would be, oh my God, some white guy's trying to kill me. It would be 200 pages of somebody's trying to kill me.
Well, there are
stories. I'm just hanging out in the Serengeti and somebody's trying to kill me.
Are there stories from African people, from the African's perspective?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. What's the great Chinua Achebe work? Things Fall Apart.
Yeah.
The people that we recognize from the continent at the end of colonialism who were able to tell the stories from that perspective for the first time, the Mandela.
But yeah, it doesn't come from the lion, though.
It doesn't come
from the lion.
History is told by the hunter. History is a tale told by the hunter. But that's not the point. The point here is catharsis, accepting the life that you lived, not fighting it, not fighting the people who hurt you, forgiving, moving on, hoping that they come to their own forgiveness. But if they don't, that is not your concern. It's about you forgiving them and then
living a joyful life.
See the dancing, them see the performance. Enough people see me life and want one. But them no know some more time it look dormant. And them no see say on me belly me a crawl pan. Cause my mama just called me with tears in her eye. She never know me have a stage show tonight. Not even she see the fears in my eyes. But me just a go and put on the show. Cause they don't know, yeah. They don't know, they see me smile, but they don't know what I feel inside. Only you know, only I know, they see me smile, but they don't know what I feel inside. Yes, in at the boiling sun, footing it on the street. Righteous music, me putting it on the beat. But nothing no righteous about how life said. If you no know hard life, then you no know life yet. Because my papa just call me poverty, make him a screw.
So are you living a joyful life?
I actually am.
What do you want in the next 10 years? That's a question you would ask business people or people who are planning their future like that. I know that that's us. But what is your 5-year plan? What do you see yourself in 5 years? It's the end of the year, so this is what millions of people all over the world are doing right now. What do you see yourself in 5 years? This is early 40s for you then.
Okay, so I'm building a ministry. You know, within my church, I'm a just person, everybody. But we believe that everyone was supposed to speak the word of God, and everyone is supposed to like pass on these messages. That's what you're here for in life, to give him the glory. So I have a budding ministry. So within 5-10 years, clearly this ministry will grow. Within a year, a full Bible study, which is like a full 12 girls that I'm in Bible study with, teaching, training, loving, sharing, growing, that's one thing. Within 5 years, I would like to be married and have children as well.
As a priestess or preacher? Preacher.
I wouldn't be a priestess or a preacher, I'm a minister. Just
a minister.
I mean, right now, I'm in the choir, I'm in the drama ministry, so I'm already in ministry. I'm already a minister. Like, as soon as you get your first little word, you say, amen, you're a minister. There's a phrase that they say a lot in my church, and I really like it. They say, preach always. Every once in a while, use your words. When you call somebody up and you say, how are you doing? You're actually ministering to them. When you like reach out and like you're there for somebody, you're just around, or you're just loving them, or you like helping them grab their bike from the bottom of Brooklyn, you're actually ministering them to them in their soul. Like, you're just literally being brotherly love. You're just being what you're supposed to do. You're being their sister. You're being their, you know, loved one, you know, and that's literally what the ministry is about. So I believe that with love, the church can be rebuilt. And the church is all of us. Every single person needs to be rebuilt with love. because a lot of people are being torn down with hate, with destruction. There's a lot of negative words being thrown around, and there's a lot of people believing the words. A lot of people believing the spirit, that negative spirit that comes in their mind. They believe it, and then they go with it, and then they give it to someone else, and it's horrible. So I believe in infusing love. Within the next 5 years, I would like a YouTube channel off the chain, you know, because...
Do you have a YouTube channel now?
Yes.
What is it? So the
but nothing is on it.
Well, you don't have a YouTube channel.
No, exactly. Well, there's two or three things on it, but they're just like little acting things that I've done. Doing it. I just have to do it.
Can we just do it?
Yeah.
No more excuses.
Done. Next time I talk to you, it's gonna be on and popping. But yeah, so I already have concepts and ideas. Within a year, I want them all flowing.
Within a year, within the next couple of weeks.
Yes, at least one of them needs to be on YouTube. Flowing, running, monologues from biblical perspectives. All these things. So I have these ideas. I have hashed them out. Need to execute them. So within a year. So within 5 years, flourished.
So the name then in 2020, by 2020, the world should know name Denden.
That's interesting.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I want people in India, I want people in Asia, I want people in California, I want people wherever, New Britain, Connecticut, to watch a skit and say, oh, okay, I get it. You know, it's not that deep. It's not as deep as I thought it was. I can get with this. A lot of people look at that Bible and they're like, oh, that I can't get with that. They talking with them thighs and them tizzes.
Thou these begets.
Yes.
And Ibrahim begets.
But if they realize that the Samaritan woman was a woman just like you, somebody came to her, asked her for some water. She was like, who you? Who you talking to me? You know, you people don't even talk to me. You know, like, see, it's like she's a character. She's like, no, your people and my people, we don't even get down like this. So I don't even understand why you're even over here speaking to me. And he hit her with some knowledge.
I just want some water.
Yeah, but he was like, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for water. Because my water is the living water. And you will never have to drink again. And she was like, whoa. You speak like.
I speak like what? I'm just trying to get you some water,
lady. He said, I see the thirst in you.
I see the thirst in you. You just need some water. I got it. Why don't you want it?
There's so much more. It was just great.
Why don't you want it?
Yeah, but he didn't say that. He said, he told her some stuff about herself.
I'm trying to get there.
He was like, where's your husband?
I don't need to know that.
No, that's what he said. Jesus said. He said, where's your husband? She said, I have no husband. He said, in this you have spoken true, because you have,
I'm talking about your man. I'm just talking about water. You're thirsty a little bit. I'm trying to give you some water.
She already had a ladle. She needed a different kind of water.
But is it filled with what you need?
Why are you making Jesus like a pill?
I'm not. He walked around with a posse. He turned water into wine. He had a goblet like Snoop Dogg, and the man had ropes around him.
No,
look, that is, if that ain't just him straight,
No.
You know what I'm saying? He was a Mac.
I can fill you up more.
Like, Lord was a Mac.
He had girls getting down,
that's
washing his feet
saying.
With his hair.
Who can do that except Ice-T, Snoop Dogg, and Jehus? Yahweh.
No, he's
the
so
King of Kings.
See, I want them to see that, like, you know, Peter was a knucklehead like them. That, like, you know, like, these people are human beings. That you don't have to be self-righteous. You don't have to be Mother Teresa to be able to love your neighbor as yourself. All, you know, that's not who he used. He used a murderer named Moses to free the slaves. He used a drunk named Noah to build the ark. He uses real people who have real issues Mary Magdalene had demons, which were issues. Just issues. She just had a ton of issues. And she was still useful. And I just want everybody to know that they can be useful.
You cannot go higher than the Alpha and the Omega. We bring it back to memory, your fake name now embedded in a real historical figure,
Mary.
Who is walking the path.
Mary Magdalene.
Walking the path.
It probably
was a little, well, probably was a little closer to Jehus, to Yahweh, than the history books would say. I watched the Da Vinci Code. I know some shiznit about Mary Magdalene.
Why?
She was there. She was right there.
She was
the right-hand woman right there, married to perhaps. But I think that's a great place to stop there. That I think what I'm getting, the Lord is in us. The Lord is in us. The church is every day. Ministry is every day.
You're asking me where I would like to be in 5 years. So these are the multiple aspects of my life that I would like to be blowing up. I would like to be completely financially covered and stable, beyond stable. Income coming in from businesses that I've created, which I'm creating now. Or which I've actually already begun to create. So these things, this is how I want, you know, 5-year plan. Businesses thriving, ministry thriving,
YouTube married,
channel
child.
Thriving, child thriving, relationship.
What about the family?
Thriving, my family, my parents?
Yes.
They'll be happy children. Because I'll be married. They're Africans. They'll be like, what? She's over. As soon as I'm married and I got
It doesn't matter what it is that happened. As long as you're married, all is forgiven.
Yeah, they don't care about none of that stuff. They said, think of me, Denden. That's what my father said recently. Denden, there's a guy coming. Think of us.
If a guy is coming, I don't think you would be thinking about your parents.
Oh,
but that's let's just move on from that. You don't want to be that'll stop. Well,
no.
But anyway, I am very, very, I'm very glad that we were able to reconnect. I'm glad that everything that I thought that I wanted from this, I think I got and more in terms of an understanding of the things that happened to you and how they shaped you and the person that I met, you know, 14 years ago and where they were in their life and why things happened the way they did. But it seems that the intervening years have been cathartic and inspiring, and again, it's that life knowledge that people don't pay attention to. You go to college, you get facts and figures and numbers, and you use that to get a job. But I think a lot of people don't recognize that as you are living every day, just like you talk about the ministry is every single day and every interaction that you're so lifelong learning happens every day. It's about understanding who you are outside of people that I saw in the working world. They are their jobs.
Yes.
And when they leave the job, they are their family, and they never they feel guilty for carving out a space for themselves. And I think life forced us at a young age to carve out a space for ourselves. And when we're younger, some people might have said, that's being selfish. You don't want to hang out, you want to be with yourself. I'm not being by myself. I'm not lonely. I'm just comfortable with myself. I can be with myself. And to me, that's one of the greatest gifts any human being can bestow upon themselves. The ability to understand who you are and be comfortable in that space. There will be trials and tribulations, as there are with anybody, from Noah to you to me to Mary Magdalene to Obama to anybody. And I think, especially specifically in these days, the end of the year, the beginning of the new, it's never too late. It's never too late to, one, let the past go and understand that the future is here and it's waiting for you. It's waiting for you. And you can make an impact on it as yourself. And hopefully, again, one of the purposes of Ubuntu is understand the self enough to be able to help others. Ubuntu is, I can only see my humanity if it's reflected through you. Meaning if I do something good, I'm gonna see that goodness through you. It's tough sometimes to see the goodness that you do. But if somebody's life is impacted, that is an indelible mark of whatever goodness that I try to put out there. So I thank you for sharing the good times, the bad times. I'm gonna see that those times are gonna be able to propel you, hopefully, not hopefully.
Done.
It's done, it's done, da dun dun.
Dan.
It's Dan. So we thank you, and we do a follow-up in 5 years to hold you to all this stuff.
No problem. Oh, God.
That trumpet guy from Paris is going to come get you.
Trumpet guy coming.
This is an NC State thing. Only NC State people understand. Bye-bye.
Our own fight song.
We don't care, Carolina. Bye-bye.
remember more the sober ones. Walk like warriors, we were never told to run. Explored the world to return to where my soul begun. Never looking back or too far in front of me. The present is a gift, and I just wanna be.
Thank you for listening to Ubuntu Radio.